Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to be with you on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. Do you like that? Should we retire it? Should there be a new nickname?
I'm not going to give myself a nickname. So.
I know we've done the Seinfeld. I like 80s action star.
I'm cool with it.
It sounds like
until we come up with something else.
Colton Stone sounds like a film name. I will let you pick which genre. Colton's a good sport. Thank the Lord. Great to be with you. We are loaded up today. Plenty of Super Bowl talk with a little big red twist to it. Karell Buchalter going to be with us in 15 minutes. Seabuck. Someday I will get enough guts to ask him if ever his nickname was Buck Nasty. But I don't know that, so I talk to Karell like twice a year, so we'll keep it on the, hey, can you do my radio show? Please, thank you. Karell Buchalter going to be with us in 15 minutes. He was an Eagle for 7 of his 9 years. Now, of the 9 years, 7 he played, actually make that 6, 3 he was injured. 2 of which in Philadelphia during the Super Bowl season. But we'll get in there on him about Philly fans, Terrell Owens, Donovan McNabb, the Eagles in general. Scott Frost, he was a freshman when Frost was a national championship senior quarterback at Nebraska. So Karell Buchalter in 15 minutes. We will spend a few minutes in this hour on recruiting. We'll get you a Jean Baptiste update as Urban is moving in. Also, some audio to tell and play for you. Some really heartfelt thoughts as NFL Combine's around the corner. Shaquem Griffin has been making news this season as a standout at Central Florida. Griffin, obviously, just a stud defender, but also Griffin, a guy that has overcome with just one hand. He doesn't look at it as anything but just normal. I'm wowed by it. I think many are wowed by it. He's such a high-level player. He had some comments on Scott Frost today that you'll want to hear. Very cool stuff. Next hour, Ralph Brown, 1 hour away as a 10-year NFL vet. Ralph went to 2 Super Bowls. We'll get Ralph's thoughts on the big game. We might do a steak and a beer bet again. That has not gone my way over the last 10 years of talking Super Bowl with Ralph. Tom Penders will also be with us, Hall of Fame basketball coach. He is all over Nebraska. Had a chance to text back and forth with him this week. We'll get his take on Nebraska, on Palmer. If Palmer's short-term or long-term, that would just break your heart, I know. It's not even tournament time, but you're jumping there. But it's in your mind about Palmer's future. But really, what's Nebraska's future hold? We'll get to that with Tom Penders. Can join us, can tap the line. Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. My question for you to start off, did you celebrate today? What's there to celebrate? Well, it's February, which means you're closer to March. It means you're closer to April. It means you're closer to May when you can golf and sit in the sun. Did you celebrate that Joel Lenardi from Bracketology, from ESPN, has Nebraska apart? It's way down the list, but they're on the list to not get in now. The next 4 out, Nebraska. Right now, if we're talking pecking order here, there's 12 teams. Last 4 in, last 4 out, next 4 out. SMU, NC State, Boise, Virginia Tech, last 4 in. May they lose out, says Nebraska basketball fans. The last 4 out, Missouri, Georgia, Western Kentucky, and I think my writing says Washington. Yeah? Washington. Don't know. That's my bet. Next four out, Syracuse, UCLA, Utah, Nebraska. Nebraska has at least moved up far enough thanks to a 3-1 week to be on Joe Lenardi's last four, not last four, but next four out. So I'm asking if you celebrated. You're moving in the right direction. But in all seriousness, once you hit February, you can absolutely get in there. When it comes to crop report, you jump to ESPN. There's a bunch of sites out there that say, here's who's in, here's who's out. And right now, I went through the list here. And when it comes to bids and concerns for Nebraska, I watched last night in the Big Ten. And I'm sitting there with the other Steve Schmidt and Uncle Nate. And I'm watching Penn State dismantle Sparty. And then Sparty gets mad. And Sparty wins by double digits. Then I'm watching Maryland. And I'm like, okay, how's this going to hit? Maryland was there, but they got just dismantled themselves to start out. And then Purdue kind of hung on. It is such a fluid situation, not only for the Big Ten to get five, but it's such a fluid situation for Nebraska. Because Penn State's looked to me like they're the second best team in the Big Ten, and I know they're not. But on some nights, man, they play like it. They came out and smoked Michigan State, couldn't sustain it. They've already won at Ohio State. Nebraska lost in overtime to them. Penn State's going to fade. And it's too bad because you're not going to get credit for beating them. They're 15-8 right now, and they're a team nobody wants to mess with in the league. Maryland is on life support. And in some areas, corners of the world, corners of bracketology, they're not in anymore. And they're done, short of a Big Ten tournament run. It's February. The Big Ten tournament starts February 28th. So you got 28 days. You got a little bit of rest for Nebraska basketball. But Nebraska's moving in the right direction. What you need to do now is openly cheer for those other bubble teams. And this is the sad fact of life. Nebraska wins out and wins a game in the Big Ten tournament. They're 24-9. They're in. But here's what else you need. Help. Help is what you need. You need Marquette to start stumbling. You need NC State, who they just beat Carolina, to fizzle out. You have SMU. You have Houston. You have K-State. On the bubble right now, A&M and Providence, they're there. We'll get to some conference bids with the latest bracketology report here in a second. There's been some movement there. We'll get Colton to chime in here in a second as well on if he celebrated or not. Tom is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot, Schmitty. So right now, is it still forecasted for the Big Ten to get four in?
It's right at four. It's right at four.
Well, here's and where I think probably at fourth place right now, a half game ahead of Michigan.
Right.
As long as the teams that are one or two notches below us continue to lose, we might have that luxury of maybe dropping one and still getting in if we're the fourth ranked team going into the Big Ten tournament. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Tom, appreciate the call. Here's what's kind of a new normal for the selection committee. And I'm not sure if this was last year. It might have been last year. Washington won the regular season Pac-12. Washington went 14-4 in a Pac-12 league. Washington got knocked out of the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. Washington went to the NIT. So if Nebraska finishes fourth, it gives them a bye, which is fine. Or the double bye, to be honest with you, the double bye. It's like the double shot. It's great. You get the double bye. Listen, what Nebraska needs to win out and then get a shot at Michigan again, Purdue again, Michigan State again, and that's where they're at. Who am I forgetting? Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue.
Ohio State.
Maybe. Ohio State.
Yeah.
Okay. That's who Nebraska needs to get in, like, to cinch it without winning the whole blanking thing. They need another crack at the big dogs. Because they don't have the quality wins. And that runs through my head so often this time of year. Because Danny Nee, God bless him, after every post game in his Brooklyn Sound, quality win, quality, that just chatters in my ears, quality win, quality, that's a quality win. Well, he gets it. He's right. You need quality wins. Nebraska has how many? When we're talking bubble teams and who you moving out and this thing being fluid. Who you moving out? Who you moving out for Nebraska? Nebraska keeps winning. And I think Nebraska can beat bubble teams in front of them. I think they could beat Marquette. I think they could beat SMU. I think they could beat Houston. I think they could beat Kansas State. I think they could beat A&M on a given night. And Nebraska's that good. It's just a quality and quantity issue. So you need a crack at it. Finishing top four doesn't mean a thing. It's awesome. You should be proud of it. But I'm talking committee people. We'll talk to Dolman tomorrow. He's been a part of the mock committee, the selection committee. He's done that. So we're going to play this quiz real quick, Colton. How many did the ACC get in as of today's bracketology?
Seven?
No, they're up to nine.
Wow.
Nine, one of which is not Boston College. SEC.
Seven.
Yes. Big 12.
Six or seven.
Seven. Big East.
Oh, I feel like they'll give them a lot, but five?
Seven.
Seven, wow.
That means the AAC and the Big Ten are tied at four. Pac-12 gets three.
Yeah. And they're not very good.
They're not very good this year. So the teams you're combating right now, here are your play-ins, and here are your 11 seeds. Virginia Tech and Boise, NC State and SMU. And right now, the AAC is right even with your own league. And they're a non-power five. But Houston, just to kind of give you some resume comparison here, Nebraska 1-5 against the top 50. They beat Michigan. And Penn State, as well as they're playing, no credit. As well as Boston College has looked, and man, they've been so close about three or four times beyond their Duke upset to drill in Virginia or get in Carolina. I mean, the Carolina just rolled them, but they have been right there against the elite in the ACC. We're talking 2 points, 3 points on the road. But you're not going to get credit because BC is just floating out there. The March to March is a must-read from our dear friend Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson. That is up on HailVarsity.com. But here, SMU. They have wins at Wichita State. They've beaten Boise. They put 20 spot on SC. They've beaten Arizona. That's their non-conference and in-conference wows. Yeah, I'm moving SMU because they're bordering on that 11 right now as well. They've lost to Northern Iowa. They've lost to Western Kentucky. They've also lost competitively to TCU. UConn and Temple are also losses. So you've got a really bad, bad scale here for SMU with their wow wins and their bad losses. Houston crushed Arkansas, lost at LSU. I know LSU's not all that great, but the SEC as a whole is good. They've won at Providence. And Houston has one more win that's pretty in Western Kentucky. That's what's going to have to happen. You're going to need the AAC to drop down to a three-bid league. Pray that Central Florida is one of the teams that makes a run and sneaks up into a third spot. And then the Big Ten gets five. hell, maybe grows to six. You're going to need some shrinkage here from the AAC. Maybe somebody needs to get lost in the ACC as well. I mean, we're talking Virginia Tech. That's just the fact. That's the other moving part. That's on top of if Nebraska pretty much wins out and gets a crack at one of those just monster opponents in the Big Ten tournament. Am I nuts?
No, I think that's Nebraska just has to, if like you said, they have to win out because there's no more WOW wins. Even if they finish top four, Michigan
there's
has
really
the
no more
resume.
WOW. There's no WOW on their schedule.
Right.
There just isn't. That isn't fair or nice, but man, it's going to be exciting because of the drama and the tension, and quite honestly, the meaning of every game. So buckle up. It's going to be wonderful. The PBA. Road wins also to be had, not optional. Great to be with you on a Thursday. A little Bubblicious talk to get things going. The latest bracketology. Nebraska has made it, and I hope you celebrated that they are not the last four out, but the next four out. Karell Buchalter on his time in Philly next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A standout Nebraska running back that spent the majority of his career in Philadelphia and the last couple of years in Denver. Welcome in, Karell Buchalter. Karell, nice to speak with you again. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. Thanks for having me, Chris. Glad to be a part of your show.
Well, what's it mean to you this week? It's your old team, and they're back for the first time since you were a part of their organization and a familiar opponent. It's New England.
Yes, I think the whole nation is pretty familiar with New England, you know, playing in the Super Bowl year in and year out. But I think they met their match this year. I feel like the Eagles' defense will definitely get them a chance to win the game.
Karell, you spent time in Nebraska. You won a national championship as a freshman, and you were drafted in 01 to Philadelphia, fourth round, and a trio of backs, and you stood out catching and running the football. And what was it like going from the Nebraska fan base to Philadelphia, that fan base that has a certain reputation?
I tell you what, it's completely different. Nebraska fans are more compassionate. You know,
that's
more,
a good word.
but don't get me wrong. Nebraska fans are very, very avid fans when mm-hmm. it comes to, you know, Cornhusker football. It doesn't get any better than that. But at the same token, the Eagles fans are a bit disruptive, very, very, I would say rude, but very, very passionate about the Eagles as well. But two totally different dynamics when you're talking about attitudes, the attitudes of fans.
Is there anything that comes out about Eagles fans that surprises you? I mean, you've had the incident about the horse getting punched by an Eagles fan. I don't know how many full beers were thrown at Viking fans a couple of weeks ago. And just some of the social media stuff that's out there. Are you surprised by anything Eagles fans do?
Not at all. Not at all. Nothing that the Eagles fans do surprises me. I can remember playing, man, and during the game you might see some of your teammates might tap you on the shoulder and be like, look up, look up. We'll see about three or four different fights occurring at the same time in different parts of the stadium. So, I mean, nothing that they do surprises me. Pretty much everyone that comes in to sing the national anthem, they have booed them. It's only one person that they didn't boo, and that was, I think it was a blind kid that came and sang national anthem. They didn't boo him, but everybody else, it's an automatic boo. Doesn't matter who you are.
That's incredible. So the fights in the stands with Eagles fans that you witnessed, was it Eagle fan fighting Eagle fan, or was it Eagle fan picking on Giant fan?
It's an Eagles fan always fighting the opponent. It could be Giants, Redskins, Dallas. Definitely when the Giants and Dallas played, I think a lot more fighting occurs during those games, for sure.
Absolutely. A few minutes here, Karell Buchalter telling us about his time in Philadelphia, Hail Varsity Radio. Karell, you had just a ton of perseverance. You played 9 years in the NFL. You lost your second year to an ACL on the left knee, and then 2 years to a PCL injury on the right knee. And so you were a part of the team, but you weren't active during the Super Bowl season. How did you get through that?
You know what? Probably some of my toughest days, to be honest. Knowing that you can compete and that it's not possible for you to go out there and help your team. That's the part that's the hardest part about it, is wanting to compete when you know you can compete at the highest level, but you can't because of an injury. That's, you know, it's tough. But all you can do is think positive about it, man. Continue to work diligently and, you know, get back out there the next year.
What do you think Carson Wentz is going through right now?
I guarantee the same feeling. When you have a guy that, you know, with his presence that he brings to that team, his leadership, his throwing ability, his running ability, that's, you know, he brings a lot to the team, and he plays with passion. So right now, I know it's bittersweet for him. He's happy that the team is there because he, you know, basically got him there with the season that he had this year. But at the same time, it's like, oh, man, you're mad and you're frustrated because you can't get out there and compete and help your team.
What's your take on Foles? I mean, he didn't win, but Foles is not the worst situation you could be in.
Absolutely not. Foles, I think he's an established player. He's been in, you know, he's played in this league and he has had some success in this league. So, you know, like you said, Carson Wentz is a top-tier quarterback. But at the same time, Nick Foles is a starting quarterback in this league. And, you know, if I think he comes I think the game is predicated on the way that he plays this Sunday.
A couple more minutes. Karell Buchalter with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Karell, do you have a T.O. story for me? I asked you the one guy who say, well, which T.O. do you mean? Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens or Coach Osborne.
Let me clarify.
Right. You know what? I had a lot of fun the 2 years that I was in Philadelphia with T.O., man. He was definitely a locker room guy. He didn't cause any disruptions, you know, in the locker room. He was a guy that came out and competed at the highest level, whether it was in practice or in the game. And I think a funny story for me with T.O. is the second year when he was with the Eagles, we got to training camp. As soon as we got there, T.O. had his headphones on. So he was just, you know, in his own world. So at that time, we didn't know he was mad and frustrated about something. So we got to meeting, the offensive meetings, and the coach, you know, was up there talking to the guys, and we look back, T.O. still has his headphones on, still bobbing his head, listening to his music. He did that the entire meeting. The entire meeting he did that. That's unheard of in the NFL. And, you know, after the meeting was over, the offensive coordinator at the time kind of pulled him to the side and had a little talk, but it didn't help at all, because from that point on, I think things started to spiral out of control with T.O. last year, you know, with the Eagles in 2005.
You know, and take me back. Was he frustrated about touches? Was he frustrated about offense? I know he wasn't the warmest about McNabb either.
Well, that's what the thing was. But we didn't know at the time. I guess he was mad.
He didn't talk?
Well, he talked, but like I said, when we got to camp, when we reported to camp, he wasn't talking then. He had his headphones on. That's what I was saying. He was in his own world. So at the time, we didn't know he was frustrated and mad at the particular person, which is Donovan, at the time. I'm just saying it was it was different. Let me put it that way.
Well, did you at least get what he was listening to? What was he jamming to?
You know what? His brother. He has a younger brother that I think raps. I don't know if he still raps. You know, if he still does that now. But at the time, he had a younger brother that rapped, so he was listening to his album or his record.
That's support, man. I like it. Carell Buchalter with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Carell back quite a bit to help out with Steve Warren, the Warren Foundation, and the Warren Academy. Carell, a thought here on Nebraska. Your teammate, your quarterback, when you got to Nebraska with Scott Frost, he's now the man in charge. Your reaction to his hiring and what he's done down in Central Florida and your hopes about what he can do in Lincoln?
I'm not a bit surprised at Scott's success. When I was there as a freshman, he was a guy that, you know, showed great leadership. He was a guy that would take control of the huddle. He competed at a high level, and that just transferred into his coaching, man. And, you know, I wish him all the best, and I know he'll get the program changed back around to what the people in Nebraska are used to and what the people in Nebraska deserve. And I think Scott is a great man for the job. He'll start to get that pipeline back, start to get the recruits coming back in. And, you know, everybody's going to rally behind him. Everybody's in Nebraska, all the former players. We're going to rally behind Scott, man. And he's one of our brothers. And, you know, we want to get the big red machine back rolling again.
Carell, what are you doing now, man? Where are you at?
I'm in Dallas, Texas now. I actually coach high school football at a private Christian school here in Colleyville, Texas.
Awesome, man. You're running backs coach, OC.
I'm co-offensive coordinator and running backs coach.
So what type of system do you run?
We run the typical system, spread.
Okay. All right.
I'm really opposed to that, but hey, it's fun just coaching the kids and developing the kids.
Okay, so if you could choose an offense to run, what would you run?
Oh, I formation. I would mix in some spread offense, but my primary offense would be I formation, because they establish like that physicalness that you need to play this game. And the spread offense, a lot of guys, it kind of strays away from kids being physical and kids don't really, in a spread offense, kids kind of forget their fundamentals.
Mm. That sounds good. I mean, I like that insight there, and I think half the world, if not most of the world, is running the spread now. It's hard to find an I formation, isn't it?
It is. To be your primary offense, it is. But like I said, I would mix, because the game always evolving, I would mix the spread in, don't get me wrong, but that wouldn't be my primary offense. Another reason being is the reason why I hate the spread is because the way we run it at our school, like on critical situations, like like short yardage and goal line, we're still in the shotgun. I'm like, so we're already back 5 yards, so we got to make up 5 yards just to get back to the line of scrimmage. I just don't like it.
it's third and seven, not third and one. I hear what you're saying.
There you go.
last thought. What would happen if Carell Buchalter would have kept his headphones on whilst Frank Solich was talking?
That wouldn't have been... It wouldn't have been good. Let me tell you, that probably would have had to roll up and down the field 100 yards and back rolling.
Yes, the old roll punishment. Carell Buchalter, former Eagle, Bronco, standout Husker. Carell, we'll get caught up again, man. A pleasure to chat with you. Thanks for a few minutes.
Always. Thanks, Chris.
You know, I can imagine in my mind's eye here, C-Buck with headphones and shades on in the back. I can picture this scene, and I can see the 1,000-yard stare from Solich, and Solich can do more push-ups than any human in America. Having a Carell, let's go have a roll. I can see that happening, but Terrell to roll into training camp with his headphones on, probably pre-beats, and just wear them during the first meeting, it's all right. Philly fan has booed everyone doing the national anthem. Didn't know that, except for the blind kid. Hail Varsity continues.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Good stuff from Carell Buchalter. If you missed it, you can log on HailVarsity.com. or get to iTunes for the podcast and subscribe. It don't cost nothing. You can subscribe now, and it does cost something, but it's so well worth your time. LVR City Magazine, $29 and change for the year. And don't miss the recruiting issue that is out there. Still a chance by midnight, I believe, February 9th, to subscribe as well and win a Scott Frost action figure. There's not many in circulation. But great look here at the cover of the recruiting issue, Adrian Martinez. That's what's on the website. Don't miss the recruiting issue. You can log on to HaleVarsity.com. The Honda of Lincoln fan poll. Where do you predict Nebraska's 2018 recruiting class? Where will it finish in the national team rankings? You can vote now. Will you vote top 20? Will you vote 21 through 25? Will you vote 26 through 30 or outside the top 30? If you vote outside the top 30, that's gutsy. We won't call you out. I think Nebraska is going to finish in that 21 to 25. The bigger question for me is what happens with that defensive end slash outside linebacker hybrid. And friends out of Ohio reporting yesterday that Urban Meyer and defensive coordinator Greg Schiano expected to visit Jean Baptiste out of Ordell, New Jersey. A&M was where his attention was yesterday with Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher and A&M late to the party, but just, I guess Aggies don't care if they're late or not. They'll just show up. They are the party. Just ask them. So, we'll have Greg Smith tomorrow. We'll have a recruiting hit tomorrow from Greg Smith of Hale Varsity on Baptiste here. What's going to happen with Javonte Jean Baptiste? Because he's a guy you got to get just from a standpoint of need, pass rusher. He's a need from a tough-minded football school in a tough-minded football state, New Jersey. And he's a guy that'll bump your numbers. And if you're Nebraska, he's probably number one on your board. He's a contingency at Ohio State. Or he's a plus one at Ohio State. I would ram that home as delicately as possible. All right, let's hear some pretty cool stuff from Shaquem Griffin. Shaquem Griffin getting ready for the NFL Combine, got his invite. Shaquem, the stud pass rusher from Central Florida, has one hand, and that is more than enough. He is incredible. He is fantastic. He had a chance to comment on Scott Frost, and it's pretty heartfelt. It's pretty awesome.
He had a major impact on my life, and you know my chances of playing football, it's just been – with him, I just always call him Pops. I tell him all the time. He's like a dad from home. And, you know, he supported me. He always looked out for me. And it always wasn't just about football with him. I was able to go to the office and just watch TV and just hang out and just talk. And, you know, the relationship that me and Coach Frost had was just amazing. I mean, I had that with no other coach. And, you know, things he did for me it's just been amazing. I mean, I can talk about him all day.
Pretty cool, man. So the icing on top with this whole Frost experience might be that his nickname given to him by Shaquem Griffin was Pops. That made me smile and laugh today when I heard that Scott Frost is called Pops by his standout defensive end. More from Shaquem on getting that chance.
He looked at me and he's like, "No, we're gonna give this guy a shot." And that's the only thing I've been looking forward to. That's the only thing I've been looking for was, you know, a coach can just give me a shot and not worry about how I look, but what I can do on the field. What can I do for him, and what can I bring to the table? And he allowed me to do that, and I haven't looked back since.
That's important. That's a trait that is trusting your eyes, that is also being pretty steadfast, if you're Scott Frost, with who you're offering, who you think can play, and believing in a kid. You talk about, you know, what type of game changers Nebraska has now with this staff and with this head coach. And they're in living rooms of the obvious, the Javonte Jean-Baptiste. They're in the living rooms of phenomenal dual threat hybrid running backs, Maurice Washington, who's going to visit this weekend. But it goes back to finding a guy that can help your team, and you can help him academically and athletically in Shaquem Griffin. That's also what you got with Frost. The good ones, everybody wants. The great ones, everyone can tell. But that guy that could be special because of his work ethic and his drive, he may not look like it. And all Shaquem Griffin wanted was a chance. And it was pretty cool that Pops gave it to him. So I wanted you to hear that. We'll get into some more basketball talk. Hall of Fame basketball coach Tom Penders will be with us at 5:25. Tom Penders is all team Nebraska. He is fired up for Big Red Basketball. We'll get his thoughts on if Nebraska can get to the dance. We're at that point. And if I'm Tim Miles, you just try and isolate every game. Just go have fun and play. And there's that question mark of pressure, right? If you got to win out or you got to go 5-1 and you want to finish in the top four, that's not foreign to these guys. That's what they want to do. But if I'm Nebraska basketball, I'm the leaders in that locker room. I mean, you can have an off night. There are games where a guy or two won't play well, but as a team, that's what's special about him is the ability to pick one another up and have balance. There's not anybody on their schedule that they can't beat. That is the counter to the pressure of having to go 6-0. Well, you got to go 6-0. It ain't Duke and Carolina. It isn't Purdue. You're not asked to go win on the road in East Lansing or Ann Arbor for that matter. Win 4 at home, win 2 on the road. Teams that you're better than right now and that you've already beat. So the pressure, yes, got to do it. But you've already done it to a large extent. Great to be with you on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. Can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio. Always welcome to Tap the Line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 800-825-5865 or 466-3776.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Yeah, I have a winter coat. I mean, we travel all the time. I'm from Oklahoma, so we had actual seasons in winter. So this is more like home than it was than LA. So I'm prepared.
There's Blake, and of course, hey, did you have to buy a winter coat? Being shipped from La La Land to Motor City. If I'm Detroit, I'm ecstatic because the guy's an all-star and he can get me 20-12 and he'll get hurt, but he'll be high-flying before he gets hurt. If I'm the Clippers, whatever. But at least we know he's got a coat. Now, I don't know if it's the Eisenhower beaver jacket that Switzer's got or if it's his coyote that Switzer's got. But if he's got a winter coat, that's good. You need it today, but next couple of days, if you're in Lincoln, should be nice. And nice enough for you to go out and see Rick at Sauter Heyman. It is February. It's close to signing day. It's also close to Valentine's Day. Signing day, Valentine's Day. Signing day is after Valentine's. I should say before signing day is coming up here on Wednesday. Valentine's Day, you know, is the 14th. So you want to get that commitment? Maybe it's time to go see Rick. Valentine's Day gifts this year. Sauter Heyman's featuring the Time and Eternity pendant. It's a diamond pendant starting at $99. Now and forever, she'll know how much you care with that gift of time and eternity. That, to me, is 4-star, 5-star. It's out there. It's wonderful. Go see Rick today at Sauter Heyman for all your Valentine's Day needs. $99 is what the Time and Eternity diamond pendant starts at. You can see Rick and Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown. Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island, urging you to log on today, SauterHeyman.com. At what point do you start thinking about Valentine's Day there, Colton?
I'm pretty much done. I'm pretty much got everything out of the way.
Okay.
Because it's usually because I want to know how much money I have for, like, dinner. So I kind of try to buy everything first before that point.
Okay, so you're a planner.
Right. I try to have it all organized to that way I know what I'm allowed to spend.
Okay. All right. So, out of curiosity here, what's the plan? Nice dinner? Movie?
Yeah, we're going to... Have you ever been to Biagi's in Omaha?
No.
Okay. Well, that's where we're going. We're going to go there. I have no idea what the other plans are, but we're having dinner at 8:30 and...
Look at you.
We're going from there. So.
Look at you. All right, Biagi's. Is it the old market?
No, it's 136th and Dodge, right out there in Boys Town.
Okay.
Boys Town exit. So.
Nice work. Well, good. Good, good, good. Take a picture of the meal. I know this is like 13 days out, bro, but I want to report on how dinner was.
I will.
All right.
For sure.
Okay. Ralph Brown will give us a report on the Super Bowl. We may make another Super Bowl bet. Ralph Brown, Hall of Fame Husker, will be with us to get his take on some of the hybrid kids out in California. The wideout running back combos that he has seen. Ralph Brown will kick off hour two next. Excited to talk with him. Tom Penders. And what do his eyes tell him about Nebraska basketball in the NCAA tournament? Hall of Fame basketball coach. Next hour, Hail Varsity continues hour two on the way, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Loved watching him perform at Nebraska. He's an all-century performer, a Husker Hall of Famer, a 10-year NFL vet, been to 2 Super Bowls, and first had a chance to get to know him about 10 years ago, to date both of us, when Arizona was playing Pittsburgh in the Super Bowl. Ralph Brown with us at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, you're back in New York right now doing some Fox Sports basketball coverage. Ball is life. Is that what you're covering, man?
Yeah, it's awesome, and it's a great opportunity just to see some of the top high school basketball athletes in the country. Last night I got to cover Naz Reid, who was a McDonald's All-American. Khalil Whitney, he's a top 30 in ESPN as well. And these schools back east, they just play some good basketball. And it's fun to be able to broadcast and analyze and just study these basketball players at such a young age.
Well, you've done football for a number of years out west with Fox Sports West, and you're seeing the top high school talent. We'll get to some Nebraska recruiting and all that in a little bit. But it's New England, it's Philly. And here we are, Super Bowl 52. Now, a year ago, you were on the money for 3.5 quarters. You were staunchly Team Atlanta, and you were all over
yes,
it.
Yes, I was.
And you were all over it. And then Brady became Brady again. And how do you feel about this weekend with Philly, with New England? Let's start there. What do you think of the matchup?
I love the matchup. You know, it's all about the Patriots, though. You know, when you get down to what the Patriots do, it's Tom Brady, what he does in the fourth quarter. Their ability to make plays on defense and on offense when the game's on the line it's actually unmatched, and that's why they've been winning for so long. But Philadelphia has a chip on their shoulder. They're angry that so many people are counting them out. Each game, they're consecutive underdogs. They'll be underdogs this weekend as well. And their defense, Nick Foles, all these guys have a chip on their shoulder. But what they're going to have to do is, in that fourth quarter, midway to the early parts of that fourth quarter, their defense has to step up, and Nick Foles has to make just as many plays as Tom Brady or more to win the ballgame.
Is that too big a ask? It sounds too big a ask to me.
Yeah, it's tough, but it just comes down to your quarterback. Can he make the plays in the fourth quarter or more plays than Tom Brady? That's it. That's how the story always ends. That's the way it ended last year, the Tom Brady and the Atlanta Falcons. It's going to be the same way this year, I think. But Philly's going to have to lean on their defense, and Nick Foles is going to just be comfortable and take what the defense gives, and hopefully their offense can keep rolling again.
Let's go back to 2008 and that run that Arizona had. You guys were right there for the Super Bowl, and Big Ben did his thing. Did you think you had a Super Bowl team in 08? You had Kurt Warner, you had Fitz, you had Bolden. You were a veteran on defense, a really good pass rush with that season up front as well for Arizona. You knew you might be postseason, but did you think you were Super Bowl good?
Yeah, I definitely did. And the reason why is because I had been winning championships since I was 10 years old. I won four junior All-American. I won championships at high school, went to Nebraska, and we won a national title there in 97. So when I got to the NFL, I know what it smells like. I know what it felt like. I knew the type of the teams that I was a part of. My rookie year, I thought we could go to the Super Bowl. That was with the Giants, and I hadn't been around any of those guys. We went to the Super Bowl that year. So in 2007, my first year with the Cardinals, I said, we have a team that can go to the Super Bowl. We went 8-8 the first year. I think the second year was either 10-6 or 9-7. But we went on a run once Kurt Warner, got under center and basically ran that offense with Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald. And our defense was good as well. We went on a roll, and it's fun. Once you catch fire, you gain that rhythm. You need a good defense and a hot quarterback, and that's what gets you to the Super Bowl.
Well, I was going to ask you, what are the ingredients? Good defense, hot quarterback, and you had it. Was that the year that you had Leinart starting, and did Warner replace him, or did Warner unseat him earlier? Was it a full year of Warner the year you went?
Well, yeah, it was a full year of Kurt Warner. In 2007, Matt Leinart wasn't making the best throws, and Kurt Warner was just outworking him, studying him, just running the offense much better. When they would rotate in practice, we'd go ones against ones, and we would go third downs, against the defense. Kurt Warner was just, the offense was just well-oiled. The continuity in that gel was there with the wide receivers, and Matt Leinart wasn't making his throws. And you could tell his level of commitment to the game wasn't even close to what Kurt Warner was and his intelligence.
Well, that sounds like Warner and Leinart's on TV. Ralph Brown's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, All-Century Black Shirt, Husker Hall of Famer. Okay, so earlier this week, we always catch up with Coach McBride, and we love him. We love Charlie, Mondays with Charlie, and he's such a big cheerleader of yours and Mike's, and that 99 team is very special to him, along with his 90, all his kids, that played for him, he loves. But so he said that, yeah. I said, have you been to a Super Bowl before? And he's like, well, yeah, I got to sit with Ralph's family at the Super Bowl in 08. How did that phone call happen, or did you reach out to him to give him Super Bowl seats?
I think he had spoken to me, and he reached out, and then I talked to my mom and dad. And, my mom and dad were real close with the McBrides and, Coach McBride, sure, just through the years, just because of their love. And Coach McBride, he loves – the parents, our parents, he loves his players like sons, and it goes a long way. So my mom and dad gravitated to that, and he just stayed in touch with them. And then when I got to the Super Bowl, I think he reached out, I hooked him up, and, he got a chance to sit with my parents. But it was a blessing for me to be able to have my defensive coordinator, one of my favorite coaches, or the favorite coach I've ever had in my life, sit with my family and watch me in the Super Bowl.
Well, that was pretty cool. He had a bit of a smile in his face when he remembered the trip and the ball game, and he remembered a dejected Pittsburgh fan walking out when you guys went up, and then that drive happened. And Ralph, how are you able to process? You've been a part of so many wins. You just listed off being kind of that championship pedigree. You know what teams are made of, and you've been on teams. You've been part of that that recipe. But when it comes to losses, how long did that one take to process through?
Here's, and I'm going to be seriously honest with you. When we lost the game against Pittsburgh, I said this to myself. I accepted it because before the season started, Coach Wisenhunt didn't say our goal was to win the Super Bowl. His goal was to get into the playoffs and see what could happen. That's what happened. We got to the playoffs, and then we got to the Super Bowl. Before the season, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a goal to get there. We saw the video with them talking about getting to the Super Bowl. This is how we're going to get there. We're going to need everybody to be selfless and commit to this if we want to get to the Super Bowl and win it. So for me, playing in the league for 10 years, it hurt, but I felt like, hey, look, that wasn't even our goal as a team. For our head coach to put that in the locker room, it was the Steelers' goal, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you were kind of playing with house money as is, right? You made it about as far as you could, and you came a second away in the best catch arguably in the Super Bowl, not named David Tyree, from taking it down.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough for me taking that loss, but the both times I went to the Super Bowl, both head coaches didn't make that a point to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl before the season started.
Does that shock you, or do you get it?
No, it shocked me because your goal should be to win the Super Bowl. You need to plant that in your players' heads, in the coaches' heads, in your mind so you can prep and practice that way because that's the ultimate goal when you're playing football. It's not to try and make the playoffs and see what we can do. The goal is to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl.
Ralph Brown's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter is where you can follow him. What do you think happens with Brady, with Belichick, with Kraft? What's your insight to their situation? Is there smoke?
Yeah, I think there's smoke, but when you're dealing with a lot of success, people start to get egos, and a lot of people understand that, hey, look, this thing is well-oiled, and they're winning because of me, and all of them are a reason why they're winning. Kraft, Belichick, and Brady, and Brady's probably a little bit more of the bigger piece to it because he's so clutch, but, you know, with Belichick and his defensive schemes and teams not being able to prepare for them, I mean, the greatest NFL coach of all time is Bill Belichick, and you just get egos in the way, and guys feel like, hey, look, this thing's probably going to come to an end, but you just got to sit back down at the table and say, hey, look, we work well together as a threesome, and let's keep this going.
Ralph, let's switch gears a couple minutes here about Nebraska football, and you keep an eye out with all the California talent you see with the TV coverage you provide for Fox Sports, and your thoughts on the job Nebraska's doing. When you look at the composite rankings, recruiting rankings, I've never really asked you if you're a recruiting ranking guy or not, but we'll get there in a minute. But you have Nebraska jumping from a team ranking in the 90s to now 23rd, 21st, maybe finishing top 20. What's your reaction to what Frost has done, not only on the trail, but just the jump they've made from what all the air quote experts say?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And it's amazing when you have a head coach that knows exactly what he's doing. He has clarity, and he has that speech and that talk to be able to get kids to believe. That's how you get recruits to come to your school. You got to get them to believe they're going to have a great education, believe they can play a lot, believe they can contribute, believe they can possibly win a championship. And that's what Coach Frost and Coach Held and these guys are doing. Sanander as well. They're painting the picture for these kids that they can come in, rebuild the program, get some Big Ten championships, play a lot, and hopefully get a national championship as well. And that's why you see them going from 94 all the way up to the 20s and now the low 20s. So they're doing a great job. And I just love watching Coach Frost and his success and turning the program around so quickly already.
Ralph, you were a running back in high school, and obviously you did what you did college and NFL level as defensive back. But your thought on some of the offenses you're seeing out in California, specifically the hybrid back/slot guys you're seeing in high school today. That's a monster piece to the Frost offense. And how good a fit do you think it'll be moving forward with the California talent that's the hybrid type with the Frost offense?
Well, I think it's awesome. And you look at what the offenses from college and the NFL has basically kind of molded into. It's where everybody's basically a wide receiver. And the running backs need to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield on the move. So then now you're creating these mismatches against these linebackers who aren't as athletic. Now these linebackers basically have to cover a wide receiver. You're moving up and down the field with high tempo and great pace, and that Scott Frost offense with great quarterback play, great offensive line play, speed, and running backs that are hybrid. It's hard to stop getting up and down that football field on defense, and Scott Frost knows his model. It's going into place, and you can see with the type of receivers, the type of running backs that are getting pulled in, it's going to be tough to stop once they get it rolling in Nebraska.
Ralph, we'll end with this. No stake in a beer bet this time, this year. We'll wait till next year.
Yeah, you still owe me a steak, so.
Did I give you the points? I don't remember. Did I give you the points? Because I took New England.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I think you still owe me a steak, though.
I think I owe you like 7 out of 10 steak.
Yeah. Hey. Maybe if I get back for the spring game, we could get that worked out.
Yeah, I'm sure. Who are you taking? New England or Philly?
I can't bet against Tom Brady, and I think anyone is just kind of guessing and hoping if they pick the Eagles. I mean, when it comes down to the fourth quarter, Tom Brady and that offense and their defense and Bill Belichick make all the adjustments, and everybody makes their plays just like they did against the Jaguars, and I don't see them not doing it in this Super Bowl also.
For the record, I am more than happy to stake and beer Ralph. The schedules have conflicted. Someone's out in sunny California, and someone's in Nebraska where it's 12 below wind chill. Ralph Brown is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, we will see you soon, my man. Thanks for the insight. Thanks for the fun today.
Yeah, no problem, buddy. Lots of fun.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the tape. I'm going to scroll through the archives of Hail Varsity Radio, the podcasts, for last year. I called Ralph nuts. I thought he was crazy for being so gung-ho Atlanta. And then it's 28-3. And I'm like, I texted him during the Super Bowl. Dude, you're right. And then overtime. I got to figure out, Colton, you remember what the line was last year? Because didn't New England win by...
They won by 6, right?
Well, it was...
34... No. 34-28, right?
They won by 4.
Okay.
But if the line was 4.5 or 5, then maybe I'd do owe Ralph a steak and a beer. It's just... we just roll it over until there's a spring game he gets back for. I am not a welcher. Quite happy to do that. On the other side of it, if I won, I'm going Patrick Ewing and buying one of everything. Oh, I'm going to buy a ribeye, going to buy a T-bone, going to buy a filet, going to buy a New York. Done. But he wouldn't do that to me, I hope. Pray. If I eat all of that, it's time to get to the gym. Madonna Proactive. No time like the present to get your focus and health right. For 2018, Madonna Proactive at 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. Go take the tour. Set up an appointment. You don't need an appointment. Just make the phone call. Say, can we come by? Can we see you? Done. 402-420-0000. Can log on at madonnaproactive.org to kind of check out the facility, check out what they have. From a convenience standpoint, can log on and see all the classes they offer, all the facilities around town are nice, but Madonna Proactive, very, very special. It's difference-making. It's got 3 pools, including Lincoln's only indoor aqua track, and they have training for you, individualized training, if that's what you want, beginner or advanced, and the best selection of equipment, treadmills, rowing, TRX. They'll get you ready. And there's over 130 classes offered each week. Make time. Get to Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. Take the tour today. Give them a shout, 402-420-0000. Tom Penders, Hall of Famer next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Legendary coach. She's taken 5 teams to the NCAA tournament. An Elite Eight with Texas. Hall of Fame basketball coach Tom Penders with us at Tom Penders on Twitter. Coach, it's almost March. Getting into it. Nice to speak with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. It's been a
cold winter up here in the Northeast, where I've been kind of stuck this year.
We usually catch you heading to Vegas, my man, and you're back.
Yeah,
east.
I'm usually in Miami at this time, and then I will be in Vegas again for the first two rounds of the tournament.
Well, good.
I'm glad that will continue, and I'll be available to do some shows. Hopefully, Nebraska is in it the first two rounds, and I know they're going to be in it for the first round. I'm calling that one early.
So no bubble watch, huh?
No, not in my eyes. They'll take care of business down the stretch, and I like this team a lot. I think Tim has learned to let them play a little bit, and I just have a couple of concerns about some things that I've picked up watching him that he can correct. He's got to, this is when it gets serious, but it's also the time of year when you can start tweaking and, making changes. When you're playing in a conference, you don't want to show your hand playing teams early on, because you probably don't know what your hand really is and what it holds, number one. And also, if you're playing a team twice, they're going to study how you beat them and take that away from you the next time, or try to. And all but a few teams in the country have to do that to survive in advance in conference play, conference tournaments, and in the big dance in March. And I'm just pleased with the way he has adapted. He must have been listening when you always ask me, what would you do to get this thing turned around?
That was the discussion last year, wasn't it?
I hate answering those kind of questions because I don't want to be critical of the coach, but, I give honest answers whenever I can, or I'll just say I really don't want to go there. But I really felt that if he was going to recruit better, he had to commit to more up-tempo play for his fan base, and I know the history of Nebraska basketball and when they were good and when they've been bad. And I know their fans are great. They have a terrific fan base, and they're back, as I knew they would be with this style of play, and it really helps winning as well.
Tom Pender's with us, Hall of Fame basketball coach, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, you've had a chance to catch a lot of the Nebraska performances on BTN, now 17-8 and 8-4 in the league. And Nebraska's been really good at limiting the three-point shot, and we've had John for years, and you've harped on that forever. It'd be great at the three-point, defend the three-point. Nebraska, I think at 30% right now is what they're doing defensively with teams in the three-point shot, and then they've got some real difference makers, specifically Copeland, the five-star transfer from Georgetown. Cope's been great. And then James Palmer, mm-hmm. the Miami transfer. You've had a chance to see Palmer. Do you think he, cart before the horse here, but do you think with the level he's playing at, he'd look at maybe going to the NBA after this year?
Well, I don't think he should. I think there are some things he needs to work on. His ball handling is okay. Mm-hmm. His outside shooting is either on or it's off. Mm-hmm. He's got to develop real consistency in that area. And, I'm not sure about the one-on-one defense against smaller, quicker guys. And those are all things that are key in the evaluations. He's one of those, they would look at him as a guard, definitely, and some teams even a point guard. So he's got to improve, and I think in this style of play, he will. And another year, and he's got some good teammates coming back,
Yeah. He's
going to get a lot more attention, and he's going to, with winning and with television, there's a lot of pressure on executives in the NBA and scouts to go with guys that are known, that are, maybe third-team All-Americans on up, or a guy who is highly touted as a freshman.
Kind of that splash draft guy?
Yeah, exactly. He's got some things that I really like. You know, take it to the bucket from out top. If he gets a mismatch where he feels he can get around a guy and he finishes really well at the rim, he gets fouled, and he's a very good foul shooter. But, you know, he would be one of those guys, if he goes, he'd get drafted in the second round and probably a little late in the second round because of his size and what he's going to be projected to play in the pros. He's getting opportunities to blow the ball off the floor and run the fast break in this new offense. He's getting chances to play on the wing. And in their defense, they play a lot of man-to-man. And even when they're playing the 1-3-1 half-court trap, you know, he's sometimes out at the top. He's active. He's got long arms, which really help on the defensive side. I don't know about an advantage offensively, the long arms, but that's one thing I love about the team. They're my kind of team. They're quick. They get a lot of deflections.
The athleticism's off the charts, man. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. It's again, it reminds me of some of my teams at Texas and Rhode Island. That there's one thing I love to talk to Tim about. The insistence on playing behind the post, I think, leads to a lot of foul trouble, which may not mean that your great center is fouling out because they kind of play that by committee. But you're getting into the one-on-one and double bonus for the other team by fouling. When you play behind, it's a foul or a bucket. The double team, that's overrated. I'll give up a two over a defender, or because you're fronting and they're able to complete a lob pass every now and then, for every lob pass that's completed, three go out the door. My stomach could not tolerate open threes. When you play behind the center and try to double team the post, you're giving up a three. And I watched that Wisconsin game last night, late last night. I was having trouble falling asleep, so I like to watch Wisconsin play when I'm struggling for shut-eye. But they played behind the post the entire first half, and that was the only reason Wisconsin was in the game, never mind ahead. Every possession is worth about a point in college basketball, so they all add up. And Nebraska's getting a lot more shots this year. There's plenty to go around, but they do have kind of a big three with Palmer, Copeland, and Watson. Gill is a nice complement player who can nail threes. And they've got a lot of guys who he can either start or come off the bench, like, you know, three or four guys. The big kid in the middle is going to be real good. You don't need 3 days to prepare for a game, as is proven in the conference tournaments. And Nebraska just went 4 games in 8 days and won 3 out of 4 and could have won the fourth.
Tom Pender's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, didn't mean to step on you there. A last departing shot from you on Villanova-Creighton tonight. How does that one shake out? I think it's at Nova tonight, isn't it?
Oh, it's at Villanova? Forget about it. I'm not a close follower of the Big East until they play their conference tournament.
Sure. Coach, do you like Nebraska's balance?
They can win without Palmer getting 20. They can win without Copeland getting 20. I love Watson. I think he's going to be a great point guard. He's a good one now. His turnover assist ratio is good, bordering on great. You know, it's more than 2-to-1, and you want that. He really can blow the ball up the floor. But Tim lets other guards bring it up, and he's very comfortable playing on the wing when he doesn't have it. So I really like this Nebraska team, and I don't expect them to stumble. I really expect to take it as serious business. And you know, you got to be careful at Penn State there. or home rather, I mean at your place. Mm-hmm. I know we lost a close one out there. That would be a team that, you know, they're a good team. They're 15-8 and they're capable. You better go after them defensively, speed them up. Just like Wisconsin, when they have to play fast, they're in big trouble.
Tom Pender's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll get caught up again and talk some more basketball as the tournament's just around the corner. Appreciate your time today.
Well, good luck to the Huskers.
Hall of Famer Tom Pender's there, Hale Varsity Radio, and he is all in on Nebraska. He doesn't think it's going to be an issue, thinks they're tournament-worthy, tournament-bound, and he doesn't see him stumbling. And Coach Penders, he's come on the show for years. He's always prone to advice, and he's not a big fan of playing behind the post player on defense. Made that very, very clear. But he also likes the tempo. Loves Palmer. Loves Palmer. Loves Cope, and he likes the balance, and pretty impressed with Glenn Watson. Big thanks to Tom Penders. We'll run Coach down here in a couple of weeks as we get closer and as we get deeper into the madness nearing Selection Sunday, March 11th. Okay, you might have noticed a different soybean sign in your neighbor's field. It's your friends at AgriGold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm from the AgriGold way. High expectation for every seed that goes into the ground as the approach to soybeans is no different from AgriGold. Performance, high-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. We'll have some thoughts from Tom Brady and the retirement talk. I think that's alive and well, to be honest with you, but it's not Brady. I think it's Belichick. We'll discuss that. Can chime in, can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-377-6800, 825-5865.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
We'll hear from Tom Brady and retirement, if that's a thing. I can picture it now. A line of Nebraska basketball fans and Kansas fans waiting at Home Innovation Spas to see Deb the Spa Lady and watch an NCAA tournament game together while in a hot tub. She could make that happen. Deb, how are we today?
Oh, I'm doing good. Getting all excited because this weekend, or not tomorrow, but 1 week from today,
yeah,
we start our home show again. So we'll be doing the Lincoln home show next weekend. We'll be doing the Omaha home show next weekend. So the whole, everything starts up again. When those home shows start up, that means we really get going again. So we're loaded and ready to go. We know what we're going to do for the show. So we decided, you know, why wait another week? Let's start those home show prices and those great deals now. So that's what we're doing at both of our locations.
What wonderful options. 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln for Home Innovation Spas. Also a location in Omaha, spasonline.com. Get to see Deb the Spa Lady. And those home shows, they're a lot of fun. You've been doing them. And the pricing is spectacular. You have a price for everyone. You have a model for everyone, don't you?
Yes, we do, and we've got such a nice selection. At both of the shows, we'll have lots of different sizes, and then we'll also have, you know, all the latest, the 2018 models. We'll have the swim spas there, so you really need to come out and check out those swim spas because they are hard to even imagine until you see it in person.
Deb the Spa Lady with us, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 here in Lincoln. Can go see Deb. So, Deb, what do you love most about the home show? Let's stay there for a second.
Oh,
I know the customers love the pricing, but what do you like?
Oh, I love just it's seeing everybody. I just love it because I get to see all these people that I know, and they always stop by the booth, and it's sometimes it's the only time I see them, you know, in the year. And then I get to see all of our customers through the years, and that's great because they'll come up talk to us. They'll even talk to some of our new customers who are getting ready to buy and tell them, hey, these people are great. They've just taken such good care of us. You need to buy from Home Innovation. So that's what I like about the home show. It's kind of a social thing for me.
Good for you. 25 years with Deb the Spa Lady. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. SpasOnline.com. Deb, we'll run you down next week and excited for you for another home show.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk next week.
Sounds great. There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. 20th and Highway 2. Go see Deb. I think she starts at 10, Monday through Friday. She's there Saturday for you. And no time like right now. Got a patio or a basement or a deck. Get a hot tub, man. Get a swim spa. Either way, it's party at your place and you'll love it. Tom Brady, no doubt he has consulted with Deb to be ageless at 40. And today, Robert Kraft, Mr. Kraft's son as well, made it very clear, Tom's leaving when Tom wants. And I don't know that Bill Belichick's down with that, hence the drama associated with those three. But here is Brady from earlier today on retirement.
In an interview with Andrea Kramer of NFL Network, Jonathan Kraft was asked if he could ever envision a scenario in which he would have to tell you that you have to retire. And he said that you've earned the right to make that decision yourself. And I'm curious, what does that latitude mean to you to hear that coming from him?
Why does everyone want me to retire so bad? I don't get it. I'm having fun. The team's doing good. I know I'm a little bit older than most of the other guys, but I'm really enjoying it. I obviously enjoy the experience of playing in this game. This has been, obviously a dream come true, many times over. And, it takes a lot of hard work to get here. Our team, I think, is, working hard. We had a good practice today. We're going to need a couple more good ones. We're playing against, great football teams, so I'm not thinking about retirement. I'm thinking about the Super Bowl and trying to win the most important game of the year. And it's going to take a lot to do it.
There is Tom Brady. Why are we talking retirement? Let me have fun. Let me keep playing. We're at a high level. You all hate me because I'm New England. Or because of my wife. Or because of my wealth. Or because of deflation. Or the fact that my other boss, not named Kraft, may or may not have videotaped things. All of those reasons. Let me ask you, do you want Tom Brady to retire? Would life in the NFL, would it be better for you on Sundays without him there? It's all good if some of you get out of bed Sundays with your sole purpose to see if he can get crushed into 1,000 pieces. I'm not judging, but there is that. League's better without him, right? That's what the guy who hates Brady has no respect for him. I don't think there's anyone out there who doesn't respect Tom Brady. There's people who hate Tom Brady, but there's, I don't think there's anyone out there that doesn't respect him. Period. So no, I don't want him to retire. I would suggest he retires before he turns into Joe Namath with the Rams. I would suggest he would retire before. What do you remember about Joe Namath? I'm going back 1,000 years. Colton's like, well, Joe Namath had lots of women, so I know who he is. But I don't remember watching the NFL films on him play. I'm giving Colton not much credit here. He's a football historian. Listen, go out while you can still go out. Like, go out while you can walk out. Versus the sad, sad story of Joe Montana. It was not a sad year, but it was not San Francisco. John Elway went out on top, won 2 Super Bowls. Then got his teeth fixed. Brett Favre hung on way too long for one more rodeo. His skills were great. I mean, Favre could still play now with all that copper crap he wears. But and then look at Peyton Manning, your peer in the league, who you've destroyed when it comes to championships and head-to-head. If you get this one, maybe it's time to go make more Facebook documentaries. And if you lose this one, you can't check out then. He won't make it mentally into the sunset. He'll swerve off the road. Belichick, he's out, bro. Calling it now. I think he's gone. That'd have been a lot more gutsy on Monday, but I think he's gone. We'll wind down a Thursday. The beer show, if you're in Lincoln, is coming up at 6 out at Granite City. Rob and Greg, that's a heck of a good time. We'll talk to you here in a moment and wind down a Thursday on Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, you missed the show. Tough one to miss. Karell Buchalter was with us, and he was tremendous on Philadelphia fans, who they booed. They booed everybody except ... and Terrell Owens, going Stevie Wonder with shades and headphones on to start a training camp. That was lovely. So, Karell Buchalter, a lot of fun to talk to, former Eagle. He joined us. Ralph Brown was great. His time with Kurt Warner in Arizona, as well as his thoughts on offense and Scott Frost's recruiting. Ralph all over recruiting. He loves that. Tom Penders is doing well and a Hall of Fame basketball coach. And he is buying stock in Nebraska for March. He has got the dancing shoes picked out. He is 1,000% ready. And we spent some time wondering how you celebrated today, Nebraska making the list of not the first four out, but the next four out. First time all year. Making headway. 17-8, 8-4. So a busy show. Can log on, find the podcast, HailVarsity.com, or go to iTunes. We'll get the podcast situation figured out shortly on ESPN1480.com, so you can check us and take us out there. The ESPN Lincoln app, though, always all good for you to take with and be a part of it. So here's what's up tomorrow. Evan Taylor going to be with us. Nebraska basketball standout. We'll get caught up with Evan Taylor. We'll run down the Pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports' is Bill Dolman before he heads off to the Olympics and his coverage. Bill Dolman's done Olympics for quite a while, and it's pretty awesome for him. So we get caught up with Billy D, and we can't have a Friday without Greg Smith in recruiting. Who's coming to town? Who's here for official visits? Don't miss the 2018 recruiting issue. Get a sneak peek of that. HailVarsity.com is where you can find it and can subscribe. 855-3-HUSKER, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. You can subscribe to the premium content on the website. Subscribe to the magazine, $29 and change for the year. That's incredible. Colton, you got class tonight? You got class every night.
I don't have class tonight, luckily. And I don't have work either. So
you are going to go home and just...
kick it.
Kick it.
Yep.
How does Colton kick it?
Well, I've kind of been dealing with like migraines and just aches all over. So
okay.
I think I'm just going to try to rest and get right.
You're pretty politically correct answering tonight.
I'm not gonna put myself out there too far, I suppose.
Good for you.
I'm gonna get dinner though. Probably go meet up with a buddy and have dinner, but
okay. Are you doing barbecue, Chinese?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
I'll wing it.
You'll wing it. All right. Well, wonderful work. Thank you, sir. Beer show is shortly. Don't want to miss that. With Rob and Greg, a get better soon to Mr. Nick Gregeth. The flu is winning. That would be awful. Granite City is where you can find Greg and Rob for the beer show. Go have one. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 4 o'clock, with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.